97.5, The Fanatic.
Alright, we're back. It's Patty Ginn and it's Tyler Soley as we continue to reflect on the life of Kobe Bryant. Kobe tragically passed away today along with his 13-year-old daughter Gigi at the age of 41 in a helicopter accident in California. Eight others did lose their lives in that. You can't forget those people as well. But we remember the life and times of Kobe Bryant today as we just reflect and kind of tell stories about if you had an interaction with him, if he meant something to you as a player, as a person, whatever it may be. You never want to see anyone lose their life at the age of 41, especially in this kind of situation. And I mentioned it earlier, but you put some of these athletes, some of these special athletes that you watched as a kid that you grew up with, you put them on a pedestal and you think they're untouchable. And the reality is a lot of times it's because these guys do go into old age. I mean, you look at Dr. J, right? Like he's doing good. He's fine. And you see time and time again where if like Muhammad Ali passed away, but he passed away at a nice old age. You rarely ever see guys suddenly pass away.
Correct.
And someone mentioned Junior Seau a few minutes ago, and that's a good example of it. It suddenly happens. Now with Muhammad Ali, you knew that his time was coming up. He was sick. He had his issues. This came out of the blue, and I think that's why it has such an impact on the sports world today, is because no one ever saw this coming. I mean,
right,
we were just celebrating him last night.
When you wake up,
LeBron.
When you wake up from a nap to the conversation that says Kobe Bryant is dead at 41, and you have 155 notifications, that's a little, it's earth shattering, to be quite honest,
yeah.
Because it changes your entire view of the day. Now, we've said it a couple of times. We had a show planned. We had Sixers conversation. We had Eagles conversation. We were going to have a little fun with the All-Star game. None of that panned out. You know why? Because this trumps everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and just be all doom and gloom because, I mean, there was tons about Kobe that was good and you can laugh at and kind of remember the good times. I mean, I'm Irish, so Irish wake style is great for someone like me. That it's not all the negative. You remember the fun. Like I can laugh now about the whole rip your heart out thing because I'm like 12 years old and I'm like, why would you want to rip my heart out, man? Like we're the same guy. I don't know, idiot. Probably because he's on the other team and they want to win a championship as badly as you, the fan, wants to win. At the age of 12, I don't realize that though. You know what I mean? So I can laugh about that situation now. But you never want to see anybody, especially
well, yeah,
when
you can laugh at it now. But even still, like if there was a Kobe type player today, which I believe me, I don't think there is. I don't think anybody has that mindset in any league, to be quite honest. But if there was a Kobe type player today that came up to your team in the NBA Finals and said, "I'm going to rip your heart out," I'd still feel bad about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still bitter.
25 years later,
I'm not over it, but he was such an amazing competitor that you couldn't not respect him, and he did so much for the game. And I do want to get to this cut coming up shortly, but Jason in Wilmington's been waiting very patiently, so I want to get him on and discuss Kobe. Jason, you're on The Fanatic.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
No, thanks for making it, Jason. What's going on?
Man, today is just a rough day. I'm 25, so Kobe was my childhood. I grew up hating him because I was an Allen Iverson fan. And, you know, he was, in that era, he was just killing it. He killed, you know, every opponent he played against, and the Sixers as well. But I had so much respect for him with the work, his work ethic, his passion for the game. And, you know, being an Allen Iverson fan, I could appreciate that because, I was just like, I want to have that Kobe mentality. I want to have that Allen Iverson mentality because they were out there to kill their opponent. To, you know, they gave every bit of effort to be here. And it's just tragic. And it makes you just want to just reflect on life and take a step back and just, you know, think about everything. And when I heard the news today, my stomach just dropped. And then when I heard that his daughter was also on the helicopter, it felt like somebody just punched me in my stomach. And then one of my friends also, he called me off guard and sent me the video of the plane actually going down, and it's just, I wouldn't wish that on anybody to go out like that.
Right, and Jason, not only obviously Kobe and his daughter, but you know, three from the Altobelli family, Alyssa, yeah. John, and Kerry also as well, and more that we haven't gotten names of yet. It hurts. I mean, like even from, and again, Pat said it. I'm kind of the same way. I wasn't a Kobe fan. I respected Kobe, but I wasn't a fan. It still hurts.
Yeah, it does. And the only positive thing I can find out of this, you know, all the families and even seeing how close Kobe and his daughter was, that they had each other in the end. And that's the only positive I can really find, can find on this. But, it's hard to process. I'm still in shock. I don't even know how to process it.
Yeah, it's a crappy day, Jason. It's definitely a shock to all of us in the sports community. It's one of those situations where you'll remember where you were for the rest of your life. I mean, I remember where I was when I found out Steve McNair died. I wasn't a Steve McNair fan. I respected what he did.
Right.
But I wasn't this diehard Steve McNair fan. And I'll tell you real quick, I was working for this texting company. You might remember it. It was this texting company called KGB. And it was basically before the smartphones were readily available, and you would text questions to a number, and the number would text you back for like a dollar, and it would answer your question. And I would sit there on a computer, and I would answer the question.
So wait, real people answered those?
Real people answered those.
There wasn't a robot on the other end?
Let me tell you, it was tough to make money, because it was like 10 cents, or it was about 10 cents if you looked up the answer, and 5 cents if you didn't have to look it up, and it was like an automated. So like, for instance, if somebody texted you, what's 2 + 2, there was an automated thing that you could just click, and it would be like 4.
Right.
But if you actually had to look up the thing, it was you got 10 cents. So it was tough to make money, but yeah, I was in college and I didn't have a job at the time, so it was pretty easy. And all of a sudden, text started coming in of the Steve McNair die. And I remember texting a few people back. I owe him a couple bucks, because I was like, no, Steve McNair didn't die. 20 minutes later, no, Steve McNair died. And it's something I'll always remember for the rest of my life. I'll remember when I found out Roy Halladay passed away.
Yep.
Because these greats that you're just, the tragic loss of them, it hits home because you're just not expecting it. And especially, you know, after last night, in a way, you're honoring LeBron James for what he was able to do, obviously. But it's not lost on you that LeBron James was able to do it in Kobe Bryant's hometown, and you're thinking about Kobe Bryant, and he just gets passed for third all-time by one of the all-time greats, in my opinion, is the best of all time, in LeBron James, and Kobe's certainly in that conversation. And then to wake up today and find out that news, man, it sucks. There's no way to sugarcoat it. This sucks.
And I got to tell you this. I've been holding on to this one for a while now. What my immediate reaction, what my immediate thought was, in terms of, you know, like, how do I put this into perspective? You and I are, you know, you're a couple years older than me, but we're in the same generation. An entire generation of guys, probably 21, 22, up to 31, 32. So a good 10, 11 year window would be in their English class. Get up from the desk. Yep. Step one, step two, turn around, yep. Fade away. Kobe!
Yep.
Still and launch a piece of paper to the trash can.
Still doing it. I mean,
you saw
Boban do it last year in
right.
a game. Boban Marjanovic for the Sixers did it in a game.
And to what that means, to put that into perspective, to show what that meant to us, was in a time of very little needing to, like, very little intelligent thinking. We were just getting up to shoot a piece of paper into a trash can. When your mind goes to any player in the NBA, we could have named anybody in the NBA, but everybody in every city and every state. First one to come to your mind? Kobe Bryant.
Well, and real quick, before we get to Ed, what made that little game so great was because I would name anybody. Like, I would do the opposite. So I would get up from the desk and yell, Rodney Carney! Well,
that's because you're a jerk.
No, because I suck at basketball.
Oh, all right,
but also, like, that was the joke was, everybody would do it because you were emulating Kobe. Because Kobe
Correct.
Was the best. So I would get up and yell, Shavlik Randolph! Lewis Almondson, like, I would yell the guys that were terrible.
Jimmer Fredette.
Jimmer Fredette, yes.
Yeah, you got to go Jimmer if you're shooting from, like, the back row.
I mean, Jimmer was a little after I was in high school. But, yeah, you would start yelling the guys. Speedy Claxton.
We had a teacher, and I don't remember which one it was in high school, but if this teacher is listening by any chance, he will send me a message on Facebook or something. We had a teacher that had a rule that you could shoot your paper anytime you wanted. If you missed, you got detention.
Oh, I was hoping that you could shoot your paper. You just had to yell Kobe. That was the that would have been
that's
awesome.
A great rule. But no, so if you made it, you were good. If you missed, you got detention. And I forget.
I love that rule.
I forget who it was, but you were taking a chance. You were taking a real chance.
I love that rule. That's awesome. 610-632-0975. Ed's been waiting really patiently, and I want to get to him in Elkins Park. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, it's a very sad day. And it's more sad that Kobe never could reconcile with his parents selling his memorabilia without his permission, which caused...
Is that what it was? We were trying to figure it out.
That's what it was. That was the rift. It was 2013. And they were about to go to court, and I guess they settled. Yeah, he was not too a happy camper about that. He never forgave his parents, and they acknowledged what they were doing. So he just never could. I guess apparently never could reconcile with them, and that's why they just there's no communication.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It's a shame. And look, I mean, I'm not going to sit here. Nobody holds a grudge like me. I mean, build a bridge and get over it. I don't have the tools to do so. I hold grudges over the stupidest thing in the world, and it's one thing. It's one of my many faults in life. But that's a situation, though, where I'm sure everybody involved wishes that they could have that time back and just reconcile it, and whether it was him or them, I'm sure everybody in the situation could have handled it differently and forgive and forget. Easier said than done. I'm not here to judge, but a moment like this just shows you how short life is and how petty squabbles over money and memorabilia in this case and legacy, it doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, so Joe Bryan must be, I don't even know what he's thinking tonight.
It's horrible, and Ed, thanks for the phone call, man. I mean, your heart truly goes out for the families. Your heart goes out for Joe Bryan, for his wife, for Vanessa Bryant, because there's, as I said earlier, there's a woman right now who doesn't have a husband and doesn't have a daughter, and there's daughters out there who don't have a dad, and they don't have a sister, and you feel for them because it's Kobe Bryant was a special player in the NBA. But there's a human element to this. He was also a husband and a father, and that's to me that's really where my sadness lies is with the human element of this.
Well, and we talked about players, you know, and teams giving tribute. Now, this obviously was not intentional, but this is pretty telling. Devin Booker and Trae Young each took 24 shots tonight. You know how many points they finished with combined? 81.
Seriously?
81. That's the number of Kobe Bryant's career high.
That's creepy. Now,
81.
Now, how old were you when he scored 81? And where was your memory of that?
Good question. I think I will. What year was that?
Because I'll tell you right now, I was my Kobe 81 story.
2006.
I was a huge sports fan. Like I was the little,
right.
I was the little like nerdy kid that people would come to. Like I remember one time, and I was so proud of this. I was sitting at a bus stop waiting for the bus to take me to Doherty. And these two basketball players that were on the basketball team were discussing something, and I couldn't hear because I had my headphones in. I was listening to music, and the kids started waving for me to take my headphones off. And they go, "Hey, yo, was Lou Williams a good draft pick?" And this is probably 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my reasoning on why I thought Lou Williams was a good draft pick. And one kid's like, "Thank you. All right, go ahead." Pull my headphones back in.
We don't need you anymore. Your services are no longer required.
And that's my thing. I was like, it dawned on me these two basketball players and. By the way, athletes are extremely cocky, right? Like,
of course.
We all know this. Like, they think, oh, I know the game. And they refer to this little goofy, dorky kid.
So are we, though, to be fair.
Who responds like, who looks like Harry Potter to settle a debate about basketball, who's 5'3" and doesn't have an athletic bone in his body. It wasn't lost on me in that moment. And so I kind of became a guy where other basketball players would come to and discuss hoops because I like basketball, and obviously they like basketball. And for whatever reason that night, I didn't watch SportsCenter. And normally I would go to bed with SportsCenter on because SportsCenter was like a must-have at the time. We didn't have Twitter. You didn't have instant reaction on your phone. I didn't go to bed that night, watch the Sports Center, and I come in, and one of the guys on the Doherty basketball team, a guy named Tim Gates, comes up to me. It's 7:45 in the morning. I am half asleep, and he just starts saying 81.
And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about?
And the game's on the West Coast, and I was a kid, too, who I would buy, I wouldn't buy it. I would steal my dad's Daily News every single day. My dad got the Daily News delivered to him, so I would sit there, and I would have the Daily News with me, and I would read the sports section.
Were you a box score guy?
100%
box score guy.
Box score guy.
But I was That's also, all I would read.
I was also the jerk who would read the Daily News during class. And, like, I was front row, too. And I'd be sitting there reading the Daily News. And then when it came time for me to participate, I would fold the Daily News up, like, raise my hand, give my answer, and then go back to reading the Daily News. I had a couple teachers who took the Daily News from me, and I wasn't too happy about that. But I was not.
I wonder why. Could it be because because you weren't paying attention?
I was participating in the class. Now, in retrospect, I realize what a jerk move that is. But, you know, I had to get my fill. But because, you know, I had the Daily News in my hand, they didn't have the West Coast scores.
Right.
So this 81 performance wasn't in there.
Of course.
So he comes up to me and he starts yelling about 81. I have no idea what he's talking about. And finally I'm like, Tim, what the hell are you, what's 81? He goes, you don't know? By the way, lost all credibility with Tim Gates regarding the NBA at this very moment. And I go, no, what's 81? He goes, Kobe went off last night for 81 points. And because I was a Kobe hater, because I'm still holding a grudge from 2001, I start trying to discredit it, like, well, he hit 7 threes, so really it's 76, and, you know, Wilt's 100 still the more important. No, jackass, 81 points.
You're
in
trying
any day
to
and age.
Justify
exactly.
Something.
Exactly. I'm trying to be a hater, and when you get older, you realize, no, man, 81, you can't take.
It's unreal.
It's insane. I mean, so that is the situation.
I mean, he made
right
Jalen Rose look so bad.
He did. I mean,
did
you see the commercial recently where Jalen Rose, they reflecting on the 81 game performance? I think it was 15 years ago.
No,
it's pretty funny. He's reacting to the 81 game. But that's a situation where you remember where you were when Kobe Bryant went off for 81. It's the Malice in the Palace is some
yes.
thing where you remember. I mean, my dad always brags to me that he just happened to randomly wake up and go turn on the TV, and he ended up watching the Malice in the Palace live. And there's certain moments in sports that you remember exactly where you were. Now, unfortunately, today is going to be one of those days. You'll remember probably forever where you were when you found out when Kobe Bryant died. But for me, another memory of Kobe Bryant is I'll always remember where I was when I found out Kobe Bryant scored 81
right.
points. Unfortunately, I found out a day later.
You bring up the Malice in the Palace. It's kind of funny because that was a Friday, if I remember correctly. So I didn't watch the game on the Friday, but I remember that being the only news story that Saturday morning. And if you remember, I'm pretty sure you can attest to this. Up to a certain point, SportsCenter was like an hour show. And then they would run the hour, and it would be the same show again. You know, things could get added, but that was it. It was like me and my buddy, I'm pretty certain we watched the Saturday morning SportsCenter like 5 times. And just watch Malice in the Palace over and over and over again and never got bored of it. And the 81 was the same way.
Yeah, that was a time where, and I actually missed this time, where you would go home as a kid from high school and you'd get out of class and you would just go home and put on ESPN News and just like let it sit there.
Yeah.
You'd watch the same episode over and over again. And now because of Twitter, you don't really need it. But it's a situation where you definitely remember where you were.
Oh, I remember having a ton of, you know, like you hang out with your buddies, you have a sleepover, you know what I mean? Like in the, you watch the same SportsCenter episode 6 times.
Oh yeah.
All night long.
I would wake up and I'd go and surf MySpace.
You're dating yourself a little bit.
I mean, not really. It's not that long ago, but I'd watch MySpace and ESPN News would just run in the background over and over and over again. And it would be ingrained in you after a couple hours because
yeah.
You watch the same episode again. And a lot of times that episode was featuring Kobe Bryant doing something unbelievable because he was an unbelievable player and he was a special talent. And I never claimed him as a Philadelphia athlete because Devon put it perfectly. He grew up here, but he became more L.A. towards the end.
And that doesn't bug me like it bugs you.
It does. I'll be completely honest with you. It bugs the hell out of me that in, I think it was 2008 or 2009, the Phillies are in the NLCS against the Dodgers, and he's sitting there giving the lineup card of the Dodgers. And
yeah,
he was a Mets fan, so he wasn't a Phillies fan. But it just like that stuck in my craw. But once again, keep in mind, I'm a Kobe Bryant hater. I'm appreciative of what he did for the game, and I will always respect him as a player. But in terms of as a player, I'm a Kobe Bryant hater because I'm a diehard Sixers fan.
Okay.
And my team is in the NLCS. he's from this area and he's seemingly supporting the LA squad that he doesn't really have an affinity for because he's a Mets fan.
I don't think he has an affiliation, but I also think at the same time...
Affiliation, yeah, I said affinity.
I don't think that they... You know, it would be like getting a guy that played for the Sixers for 20 years, you know? It'd be like it'd be like getting Allen Iverson to... No, you know, and because AI's a... He's a Baltimore fan, isn't he?
He's an Oliver.
Or no, he's a Yankees fan.
He's a Yankees fan.
Right.
Be a Cowboys fan.
So what I'm saying is, it would be like getting AI to do the Phillies introduction. And I don't think that it's a disservice to the team he roots for. It's just an icon in the city.
I will be the first one to admit it's a stupid reason, and it has more to do with the fact that I didn't really like him as a player. So it's one of those situations where when you don't like somebody, every little thing they do annoys you. Necessarily, like if you do something. If you do the same thing as the D-Train, I'm not going to be annoyed because I like you, but I can't send the D-Train.
Well, that's just not right. So, he's sitting here producing the show. Are you going to make us produce our own show?
He's pressing buttons like nobody else.
No,
love him.
You know what? Dylan, I got your back. If you want to step out here, I'll look the other
way. Here he comes.
He's coming in.
No, I mean, I love Dylan. I kid. But getting back to... the Kobe Bryant thing, I think a lot of people out there in the city kind of, there's not a ton, but there's a decent bit who don't like Kobe Bryant because they felt like he was more LA than Philadelphia, but...
Yeah, you're not the only one. I'm just messing with you.
I know. And I'm not going to take this opportunity to bash Kobe Bryant for all the bad stuff he did because this isn't the time or the place. I mean, he just passed away and he has a family and stuff. And I think that's the most important thing to keep in mind is the good things that he did on the court. Whether it was against your team or not, it was special. And you'll be able to tell your grandkids and your great grandkids that you were there because Wilt Chamberlain, you brought it up earlier. We hear all the time, well, you didn't see Wilt. I'm sorry I wasn't born then, but I can hear stories about him.
It was 50 years ago, but
yeah, I can hear stories about Wilt Chamberlain. My grandfather is still bragging to this day that he locked Dolph Shays' car into the garage he was working at. And like that, who the hell's Dolph Shays? Now I know who he is because of my grandfather and he's a legend and his numbers are tied all that, but those memories stick with you throughout your life. And one of the memories that I'll have is of Kobe Bryant ripping our hearts out in 2001, scoring 81 points, winning championships, and the Mamba mentality. And I'll be able to pass that down to generations who aren't lucky enough to have witnessed it because he is a special player. He's an all-time player, and he's a once-in-a-lifetime player. And unfortunately, today we lost that due to a horrific helicopter accident. Kobe Bryant, if you're unaware, tragically passed away today at the age of 41 years old. His 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, was also in the helicopter. It's horrible news. 8 others were also in the helicopter. We can't forget about those as well. 610-632-0975 if you're looking to react to anything regarding Kobe Bryant. Him as a player, him as a person, if you have a personal connection to him, if you saw him play when he was at Lower Merion, hey, floor is yours. It's Pat Egan, Tyler Zulli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Unfortunate day here, not just at the station, but I think in the world of sports as Kobe Bryant passed away tragically at the age of 41, along with his daughter Gigi at the age of 13. There was 8 others in the helicopter that also passed away. You cannot forget about them. Kobe, obviously the biggest name, but what really hits home for me is the fact that a 13-year-old girl lost her life today that had her whole life in front of her. And there's just, we've mentioned it all show, but there's such a human element to this that doesn't, I don't necessarily want to say it gets forgotten, but it gets overlooked at times, that there's a mother who, like, I really hope was able to say I love you to Gigi as she left today. I mean, she might not have, because at times I think we do take life for granted, and there's days where I walk out of the house and I don't tell my wife I love her, and she hasn't told me she loves me in 10 years, but Look, I got to bring some levity to the show. No, but in all seriousness, there's some days where I walk out and I just, I'm in a rush. And you take life for granted and you assume the next day's coming. And a lot of times it is.
A lot of times it is.
But every once in a while, it's you don't know when your time is.
I think that is the one thing that I have in my life that I overlook a lot. You know, 99% of the time I overlook, and then today is the day where it really comes to fruition, where every phone call that I make with my mom, my dad, my fiance, you know, my grandmom, they all end with, "All right, love you." You know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, this heartfelt, you know, let me express how much I am grateful for you and how much I love you. Sometimes it's really just, "All right, love you, see ya." Yep. But it's something that I have always taken comfort in times like this, where if I leave the house or, you know, my mom goes to bed and I'm still up, or I'm talking to my fiance on the phone, I know that the likelihood that the last thing that I've said to this person before I don't see them for the night, I stop talking, whatever it may be, I go to work, is "love you" or "I love you." It puts it all into perspective when these things happen.
It really does, man. It's so true. I try to do the same thing a lot of times because you never know what can happen in life. And I did notice today, in all seriousness, that when I was leaving, my wife was like dead set on here. And normally we'll joke around and she'll say, "I love you." And I'll be like, "No, you don't." And I walk out.
Right.
And it's a running joke between us. And today she was kind of dead set on hearing it back.
I knew
why. And granted, I have a 10-minute trip into work. I'm very fortunate in that aspect. But you don't know what could happen in 10 minutes.
Of course.
You have no idea. And the reality is, when Kobe Bryant and his daughter got into that helicopter, they had gone to that helicopter hundreds of times. And this was a normal trip for them. And they had no idea what was going to take place when they got in that helicopter. And unfortunately, it was the last time that they would end up seeing their sisters. They would end up seeing their mothers and their wives. And it kind of puts it all into perspective. And Kobe Bryant, whether you like the guy as a player or not, he was a truly special player. And there were some off the court things that you can't ignore, obviously, in his legacy. There was the rape allegations, and I think it was 2005 or 6, I want to say. You can't just brush those to the sides because it did happen. But the guy was an unbelievable, one of the best of all time, and somebody that a lot of kids and a lot of current pro athletes emulated their games after. And there's a lot of kids in the NBA now who might not be in the NBA if it wasn't for Kobe Bryant, because Kobe Bryant might have pushed them to be in the NBA. And last night, and I did a whole show before Sixers and 60, I was on the air from 3 until 7. And I mentioned at one point how I couldn't stand fake Lakers fans in the city, because amazingly, as soon as the Lakers come to town, all of a sudden
they come out of the woodwork.
Yeah,
of course.
What I hate about the fake Lakers
fans,
they're
the same
fans
as the fake Cowboy fan.
Here's what I can't stand about them, is the fact that they're so proud to say, "I'm from Philly." It's like, why are you proud?
So why are you not a Sixers fan?
Yeah, exactly. And what I've noticed, and tell me if I'm wrong in this, and I made mention of it yesterday, is that I feel like basketball especially is the one sport that you don't necessarily cheer for teams a lot of times. You cheer for individual players. And
yeah,
where that player goes, you go with them. So,
well, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, I mean,
less players on the court. Superstar league. Unlike a lot of other sports, you can see the player's face clearly on the court. You know, football, there's a face mask. Baseball, oftentimes a helmet or a hat. Hockey, helmet, sometimes half shield, full shield, cage in the college ranks.
Yeah.
At every level of the basketball, you can see a guy's face. You can see them growing up through high school and through college and through the NBA.
Well, and in the NBA, it's such a superstar-driven league, too. So
of course.
When, you know, and I joked about it yesterday, but all of a sudden, these same guys walking around the Wells Fargo Center in purple and gold, they were wearing navy blue and crimson last season, and they were wearing, you know, Heat colors the couple years before that. I mean, they're bandwagon.
That's different. The guy that's the Kobe fan through the entirety of his career and then remains the Lakers fan, there is like a shred of All right, I kind of get it.
See, I don't. See, I don't like that at all.
And I know that it's...
Number five,
I would say...
You don't even know what you're hitting back.
He's just hitting buttons back. This is rebellion for you being a jerk earlier.
It is.
This is what it's about.
Absolutely.
And listen, I understand why you don't lie. I get it. There's like a shred of me being like, okay, listen, he's a Kobe fan. He's stuck with the Lakers. Maybe the Lakers were bad at
one. Oh, yeah. He's stuck with them for those 3 years they were bad.
Not what I meant.
What a warrior.
Still a Lakers fan.
What a warrior that fan is.
It's a little bit different than saying the Cowboys were good, so I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, though. I respectfully disagree with that. I think you can be a fan of a player and still be a fan of a team, usually that you have a connection to.
Right.
So, like, I'll give you an example. I love Patrick Beverly, and I actually brought this up yesterday. I adore Patrick Beverly. I think Patrick Beverly is perfect for the city of Philadelphia. I love Jimmy Butler. I thought Jimmy Butler was perfect for the city of Philadelphia. You won't catch me dead wearing Jimmy Butler Heat stuff. You won't catch me wearing Patrick Beverly stuff.
I think Jimmy Butler is a little bit different. Jimmy Butler was here. And now we know what happened when Jimmy Butler. It's a little bit different. But we felt scorned by Jimmy Butler.
I didn't feel scorned.
I think a lot of people did.
A lot of people did because the Sixers put out this ridiculous propaganda that Jimmy Butler wanted to leave when they pushed him out.
But what I'm trying to get to the point is, Patrick Beverly is different. There's no affiliation. Like, if you want to be
just like him as a player.
If you want to be a Patrick Beverly fan, go buy a Patrick Beverly jersey. Nobody's going to stop. I know.
Because I'm a Sixers fan.
That's how your head... But
there's loyalty in this game, Tyler.
You're not rooting for Gordon Hayward. You're not rooting for RJ Barrett.
All right, first of all, if you see somebody in a Patrick Beverly jersey, your first instinct is probably, why are they a Clippers fan? Because they're wearing a Patrick Beverly jersey.
Right.
And then... Especially, they'll go to the Wells Fargo Center wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey and proudly stating, I'm from Philadelphia. And Kobe Bryant single-handedly turned a lot of people in this city from probably Sixers fans to Lakers fans. And Lakers fans were the worst.
Probably frauds.
And do you know why they were the worst, Tyler? Because the Lakers won a whole damn
lot. A lot of games. Right.
They won a lot. But that was the power of Kobe Bryant, was the fact that, you know, people don't follow bad players.
No.
You know,
Of course not.
Nobody was becoming a Lakers fan because of Jordan Farmar. With all due respect to Jordan Farmar, you weren't sitting there like, yo,
We looked at that 09 team earlier.
Why are you a Lakers fan?
They were bad.
Bro, I'm the biggest Mark Madsen fan of all time. Like, no, nobody said that. It was all Kobe Bryant.
I mean, you know this.
Especially our age.
You know this. Like, look at baseball. I'm a Phillies fan first. But I became an Angels follower.
Yeah, because you're a big Mo Vaughn fan.
Because I'm a big Vladimir Guerrero fan. He's my favorite player growing up.
The biggest Tim Salmon fan I've ever
I was a big Tim Salmon fan. There is a difference between rooting for a team and them being your team. Like, you can root for a second, especially a non-conference team. If you want to be a Clippers fan, go right ahead. As long as you're still Sixers first.
I don't know.
I voted for the Broncos because of Jake Plummer.
That's a weird one.
Dylan,
the weirdest one I've ever
Dylan,
heard.
Dylan, if it was Brian Greasy, I'd have some respect. But Jake the Snake, actually, fun fact before we break about Jake the Snake that no one gives a damn about, but I'm going to say it anyway. Jake the Snake is like a world-class handball player.
Really?
Yeah, you can look it up. He is an unbelievable handball player.
Why?
I've never played handball. I don't know how to play it. But.
Why Jake Plummer?
I think as a kid, I got confused because the first game I ever watched was John Elway in the Super Bowl. So I kind of liked the Broncos, and then he was the Broncos quarterback.
Yeah, that's terrible. I mean,
it's a terrible reason, but I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, Jake the Snake, he's got a cool nickname. He's no Brian Greasy, but whatever.
I did a 7-minute report in Spanish about Jake Plummer.
In Spanish?
Well, I kind of cheated, and hopefully my Spanish teacher isn't listening.
But we're in the trust tree.
Pasted it into Google Translate, my project.
I can tell you right now, all right, and I know we're way up against it, but in college, I didn't want to take Spanish. And I remember one time I came in, my Spanish teacher does a pop quiz. I raised my hand and said, do you drop the lowest grade? And she said, yep. And I handed it right back blank. And I said, all right, I'll see you later. Walked out because I'm not going to sit there for 15 minutes, waste my time.
And pretend like you knew what you were doing.
So when it came time for the oral exam, Mi padre became a doctora and mi madre became a policia. My dad is not a doctor and my mom is not a police officer, but I didn't think she was going to look on LinkedIn and fact check, so I lied. So I cheated in Spanish too. All right, you're not the only one. Back to Kobe Bryant, though, in all seriousness, to get back to the topic at hand, Kobe Bryant did pass away today at the age of 41. Tragically, his daughter was also in the helicopter with him. We're reflecting on the life and times of Kobe Bryant. We do have some clips we're going to play coming up next. If you have a Kobe Bryant story you want to share on the air, 610-632-0975. It's Pat Egan and Tyler Julian, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, we're back on just a crappy day in the world of sports. Kobe Bryant unfortunately passed away today at the age of 41 in a helicopter accident. If you're just tuning in, if you're unaware, whatever. Unfortunately, this is not a joke or anything like that. His 13-year-old daughter was also in the helicopter with him, along with eight other people. It's a horrible, horrific story, and we spent kind of the rest of the day just talking about Kobe Bryant, talking about his legacy, talking about what he meant to you as a fan, what he meant to you as a Philadelphian, as a basketball insider or connoisseur, whatever you may be. If you like sports, you definitely know who Kobe Bryant is. And I think what the big story to me, at least, is the fact that his daughter was there with him. And when you first hear the story about him being in the plane, like everybody else, you probably say this can't be right. Like this isn't true. This got to be a joke. And you initially
well, and the problem is we've seen so many important people, entertainers, athletes, musicians, politicians. Get these hoax reports that you have to at this point hold yourself back and say, you know, let me see if another credible site has this. Let me see if a credible writer has this. Really, quite honestly, what you're looking for at this point, and it's sad to say, you're looking for the blue check mark.
Yeah, and somebody actually pointed out that just because you have a blue check mark doesn't mean that you're in the know. And a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of people out there want to be first instead of right. And when it comes to some people losing their lives in a tragic way, like what happened today, the most important thing is to get it right and not be first, but to just simply get it right. Because we've been mentioning all day, there's a human element to this. And in the case of Rick Fox was initially mentioned as one of the people on the plane crash. Rick Fox has a family. Rick Fox has friends. Rick Fox has relatives that aren't in immediate contact with Rick Fox. You know, he has aunts and uncles, I'm sure, and nieces and nephews and whatnot that hopped on Twitter and just saw Rick Fox also was in there. And immediately, now they have that lump in their throat. Now, luckily, Rick Fox was not on the plane, but the misinformation that you saw has an effect. And a lot of times you do see that, unfortunately, with these stories is I usually will, with big names, I usually will believe it. Because with the hoaxes, it's usually like minor. Not, I don't mean to make light of people, but it's usually not the huge star.
It's not Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, exactly. So because it was Kobe Bryant, you kind of believe it. But normally, it's when you start seeing the trickle down names. That's the ones that I have to fact check. Now I found out a little bit differently because I found out I was waking up from a nap and I found out from a family member who texted me that Kobe Bryant passed away. I had a few texts actually that Kobe Bryant passed away, and then my wife came in the room and told me. So I found out after everything was all vetted, but I think a lot of people out there, when you find out initially, you go, this is probably not true because it's just such a shocking situation. He was just talked about yesterday because he's passed for third all time you know, LeBron James wearing the Lakers jersey in Kobe Bryant's hometown, passes him for third all time. And it's such a momentous time, and he's flying to his daughter's AAU team and meeting with them. And he had made that flight plenty of times. He basically traveled at this point by helicopter. So I told it earlier, but I remember seeing a story about Kobe Bryant using the helicopter to avoid L.A. traffic. So he was
right. Well, and this to me, so, you know, you and I have been perusing through Twitter for 2 hours and 52 minutes now, trying to, if there's new details, if there's another story that breaks. This one comes from Jackie McMullen, and somebody tweeted it and basically said, the last line got me. And I, you know, a lot of times I have to feel it for myself. The first line brings the last line together. And the first line in this story said that Jackie McMullen back in 2007 got a text from Kobe Bryant, said, "Hey, Jackie, wishing you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving." The very end of this this article says her final correspondence with Kobe came just a couple of weeks ago. "I was working on a story regarding a legendary play that Jackson had run for him while he was with the Lakers," meaning Phil Jackson, of course, "and I asked if he could share some memories about how it worked. Kobe answered and said, 'Can't right now. My girls are keeping me busy. Hit me up in a couple of weeks.'" Jackie's last line, "If only I could." That seems to be the kind of guy, like,
yeah, reporters
have an edge. And they have an understanding of people. And if you're not a good person to the media lets you know about it.
Yeah.
Jackie McMullen clearly cared about Kobe Bryant a lot.
Yeah, and she's one of the preeminent NBA,
she's great.
NBA reporters. And you hear in the stories, like that story a lot, where Kobe was really good to the media. And I think something that was telling was when he came back to Philly his last time, he'd made sure to announce to the world that he was going to be playing his last season, and he made sure to announce it before he was in Philadelphia. And obviously the media came out in droves to cover this event because he was going to be playing in his quote, his hometown for the last time. And I don't remember what website it was, but they sent his high school point guard to interview him from Lower Merion. And his high school point guard looked like the type of kid, with all due respect to him, because he's much better basketball player than me, but he looked like the type of kid who was kind of riding, like probably most of those guys, like riding on Kobe's coattails that whole time, because Kobe was a special talent and didn't look athletic and looked like somebody that maybe a Kobe Bryant would have possibly forgotten, and it would have been completely understandable because he probably hadn't seen this guy in years. And so they send this guy, and I apologize because I do forget the guy's name, but they send him to do the interviews before the game and the media scrum with all the other media. And he raises his hand and says, "Kobe, who was the best point guard you ever played with?" And Kobe doesn't bat an eye and mentioned him. Like, immediately goes, "Well, I mean, if let's say the guy's name's Joe Smith." He goes, "Well, I mean, it's got to be Joe Smith from Lower Merion High School." And I think that speaks volumes of, this is a guy who was at the highest level, is thought of as one of the top five players in the game of basketball, and still treated his high school point guard very, very well. And didn't try to big time him when he clearly could have. He clearly could have been like, "Oh, yeah, I remember. Hey, what's up, man?" Like,
right. The fake, like, yeah, of course I remember you. You know, you were, yeah, we played, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can see right through it. It's totally fake.
100%. I mean, it's one of the reasons why to this day, anytime I usually text people in this industry, whether they work here or not, usually I'm like, "Hey, it's Pat Egan." Because I'm not assuming that they have my number.
Right.
Because if they don't, like, it's whatever. I don't want them to be sitting there going, "Who the hell is this?" Because there's nothing, by the way, there's nothing worse than getting the text of, "Who is this?"
Who is
right
this?
After you text,
yeah,
them. "Oh, this is awkward." So,
we've spoken before.
Yeah. "Oh, same phone. Who this?" So, you know, I think that speaks volumes that he was at the highest level getting interviewed by the national media about his last time in Philadelphia, and he didn't forget where he came from.
Yeah,
and a lot of people out there, myself included at times, have a problem with the fact that he became more L.A. than Philadelphia. But when it came time to those that truly knew him and played with him and were around him before he became the Kobe Bryant, it seemed like he treated them pretty well. 610-632-0975. We got 25 minutes commercial free coming up next. If you would like to reflect on the life of Kobe Bryant, the phone lines are open. 610-632-0975. It's Pat Egan and it's Tyler Julie on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.